Welcome to Real Family Talk. I'm Willie Oliver.
And I'm Elaine Oliver.
This is a program about strengthening families and inspiring hope.
It gives us a place to talk about family dynamics and share tools to strengthen our marriages and families.
I often like to say when we have strong marriages, we're more likely to have strong families, strong churches, and strong communities.
Why do some marriages end in divorce while others last a lifetime? Our guests today say that despite many of the difficulties we face in marriage, they've discovered something that could make an impacting difference.
Joining us to share more are Mike and Gail Tucker, who are very good friends of ours. They have dedicated their lives to ministry and currently lead Faith for Today Television, the oldest religious television broadcast in the world. Welcome, Mike and Gail.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's so good to have you guys.
It's a joy to be here. Good to see you guys again.
Thank
you.
Always.
Always good to see you.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about yourselves, what you're doing. And we know, but we want our viewers to know a little bit more about you and why we love you so much.
Well, we love you guys. We, as you just said, we head up Faith for Today Television. We produce two major broadcasts right now, and that is Lifestyle Magazine and Mad About Marriage. And those are the ones that we are doing the most work with. Lifestyle Magazine is an interview show, is seen right here on Hope Channel. And we interview people about personal finances, personal relationships, and personal health. And it's designed to be kind of an entering wedge program to just kind of introduce people to the fact that God really does love us and He cares about every aspect of your life.
Wonderful.
Then we've also do the show called Mad About Marriage, and that's pretty obvious by the title what that's about.
Right, and you guys have been guests on that show.
Yes, we've had a good time.
All kinds of topics related to marriage, relationships, and things like that. And then we also do a seminar that we go around live to different churches and put on a seminar called Mad About Marriage.
Right. And tell us just a little bit about that seminar. Mm-hmm. How does that work? How do churches get you to come to their church?
Well, they can contact us through our website, madaboutmarriage.com, and there's a place there to say, you know, we'd like to host a seminar. Our biggest problem with that is that our schedule's been so full that if they want to do that, they should plan to wait a while.
So. Right, right.
Yes. As of this taping, we're booking 2014. We've got a waiting list for 2014, and so it's pretty well full.
So you guys are really lucky bucks, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Anyway, look, tell us a little bit about how you met and how long you've been married.
Oh, we met in college, and actually I was dating a childhood friend of yours at the
time. A friend of mine that I grew up with.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That didn't last, though.
I got him. Yeah.
And in December of this year, we will have been married 37 years. She was 12 when I married her.
I was going to say, you guys look so young.
Quit talking about how long.
Yeah,
that's a bad question,
right.
Really.
Because you look 35. Yeah.
We have two adult daughters and a granddaughter, and right now, as we're taping this, we've got our second grandchild who's on the way, could be born any day. We're rushing back to Texas as soon as we finish here.
Make sure we don't miss it.
I hear we have an airplane revving up on the runway just in case we need to rush out.
That is correct.
Yeah. We've got to be there. That's important stuff.
That's fantastic.
How is it like being grandparents?
I love it.
Yeah,
it's wonderful.
Parenting is the most guilt-producing thing I've ever done in my life. Grandparenting has no guilt.
Oh, so it's just
the opposite. It's all joy.
It's all the joy. Right. None of the bad stuff. All the good stuff. I love being
a
grandparent.
Am I doing it right?
And right.
That's their problem
now. It's stress-free.
My kids are worried about that. I wake up thinking, how can I spoil this kid today?
Oh, that's wonderful.
The nice thing too is to watch your own children as they begin to parents.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been so proud of them, and they're doing such a
great
fantastic job.
Well, you know, they had good models, you know.
Yeah, well, we'll say that.
That's really what happens. And I guess that's what's so gratifying.
Yeah, it is.
With grandchildren, especially when you have spent the time with your children, and you've really passed on values that are paying off now, that they are following in your footsteps.
Yeah. So just a little bit more about yourselves. Before you became TV personalities, you were pastoring.
Yes.
You're both pastors, in fact.
We pastored at the Arlington Seventh-day Adventist Church in Arlington, Texas, for about 17 years.
Wow.
It was kind of hard to leave there because we had so many connections, and they were, you know, they were just our family.
Well, 17 years is a lifetime, and you develop family.
It is. That's true. It is.
But even more than that, I grew up in that area,
okay.
And some of the people that we pastored, I'd gone to school with. and had known them all my life.
Right.
I went to church with them when I was a kid. So
well,
it's
yeah, and we were almost 10 years in a church just kind of down the road.
Oh, my.
There.
So you yeah. guys
so
are institutions
lots,
in that area.
That's, lots of yeah. connections there.
Yeah. yeah, but now God is using you all over the world. So, you know, so many more people get
yes.
to be blessed by your ministry.
Well, you're very kind. And, we're enjoying it.
And we've been blessed by your ministry
we
over the years.
Have,
and
well,
we've enjoyed, yeah, we've gotten to work together
yeah.
That's
for
really fun.
10
yes.
or 12 years.
Yes,
yeah.
we've worked together
yeah.
for about 12
mm-hmm.
years in
yeah.
marriage mm-hmm. conferences mm-hmm. all over the United States and mm-hmm. Canada.
Canada.
And
Bermuda. We did one in Bermuda.
Bermuda.
That was fun. Any of those appointments you want to throw my way, I'm happy to take. We'll fit it in.
Well, remember that.
Hawaii, Bermuda,
that.
You name it.
So, you know, marriage seems to be in trouble today. People are having difficulty making it work. And, mm-hmm. You know, the rate of divorce has been high over the last 20 years, 30 years. What about marriage is still solvable? Mm-hmm. And what can you tell us about that right now that will help our audience?
Well, you know, again, the truth is that people still get married, and that's because they're looking for something that marriage only can provide.
Yes.
And that there's an intimacy in that relationship that you don't find anywhere else.
Yes.
To be known and loved and accepted in spite of all your foibles. And believe me, she's had to overlook a lot these last 37 years. She's had over, but yet she knows me better than anyone else other than God himself. And she's still chosen to love me and to be with me.
That's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
It's marvelous.
Yeah.
And then you create a history together that you can't replicate any other way other than through 37 years
yes.
or
right.
more or less.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, there's something about building a life together, sharing a life together that you can't replicate any other way. And that's what marriage still brings to us. Even with all the failures, that's the promise.
That's what people desire.
That's right.
That's what we're looking for.
Yes.
That level of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And but somehow it's eluding people.
It is.
It is.
And you know, we found that just changing your attitude is one of the first steps to making this thing work. Developing an attitude.
So something as simple as that.
As simple as that. You know, people come to us all the time saying, could you fix my husband? Could you fix my wife?
And it's all about fixing yourself.
That's right.
Fixing
that's what
we
say. So let's start with you, shall
right.
we?
Yes.
I'm sure your husband needs to be fixed, but how about you?
How about
right.
you?
Right.
Well, you know what? We're having a lot of fun here, but the Tuckers also blog about marriage, and in a recent post, they shared what they believe could make an impacting difference in our marriages today. We'll talk about it after the break.
Welcome back. Today on Real Family Talk, we're talking about marriage with Mike and Gail Tucker. So, before the break, you were starting to talk about people asking you, you know, how can I fix this person? Because oftentimes we want to fix the other person.
That's
so
right.
you started saying something about people needing an attitude adjustment.
Yeah, an attitude adjustment.
So much of a relationship has to do with the attitude that you bring to it. And, you know, just like your mother told you when you were kids, you need to change your attitude.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. I mean, we need to look at ourselves and say, what am I bringing to this relationship? And what is my attitude toward my spouse?
Yes.
Yeah.
And an attitude of goodwill toward the relationship
mm-hmm.
makes a huge difference from the very beginning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And not only if I bring goodwill, but if I'm willing to admit that my spouse also has that same goodwill, or make allowance for the fact that, yes, they want the best for
this
marriage as
well. So give your spouse the benefit of the doubt.
Right.
I was just about to say that, and that's something that we've heard you guys say over the years,
mm-hmm.
this whole thing of giving your spouse the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there's something that you've always said, and please share it with our viewers today, and that is the thing about never hurting yourself.
I will never intentionally hurt you.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's our mantra.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it's made our marriage a safe place.
Yeah. Yeah.
If Gail happens to do something which causes me pain, I know that this was not intentional.
Yeah.
Right.
And I can either change the way I think about it, or I can ask her what she intended by that.
Right.
And she can either say, well, I didn't realize that would hurt you, I'm sorry, change it, or else explain to me what she intended.
Right.
It takes away.
Do you know that's been the biggest gift that you guys have given to us?
Is that right?
Because when we started working together 12 years ago doing marriage conferences around North America,
mm-hmm.
we heard you say that at the first event.
The very first event.
And wow, that we latched onto that. Oh, I mean, we've shared that all over the world.
Yeah. And we've used it for ourselves.
Yes, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
You know,
the biggest gift to
right,
us. To our
right. We've used it for ourselves. Yes. And here's what's so powerful about that one statement is that even if you did hurt the other person on purpose, because sometimes we do that in marriage, that whole thing about intimacy, right, where we want this intimacy, but then it gets so close that we get hurt, so we try to hurt back. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if I have this attitude, well, you know what? He didn't hurt me on purpose.
On purpose. Yeah. That's right.
You know? So it goes back to giving your spouse the benefit of the doubt.
It really makes the marriage just a safer place, doesn't
correct.
It?
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. Now, we are going to be talking about six attitudes that, that you guys wanted to talk about that can help couples to have a better marriage. So attitude number one, you need the attitude of commitment. Tell us about that.
Commitment says, I am here no matter what. This is where I belong. This is my place. I will be here.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll be here for the long haul. You can count on me.
Yeah, we heard a speaker, a motivational speaker, David Ring, who has cerebral palsy.
Yes.
And
he died recently.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
I don't
but
know.
I should not say that.
Maybe
but,
he didn't. Oh, maybe the reports of his death were greatly exaggerated.
Yeah. I looked at his website the other day to say that. I don't
know. Yeah. But his saying is, if my wife ever leaves me, I'm going with her.
Yes.
You're right. Let's get out of here.
Yeah.
You
know?
So in other words, I'm here, and you're not getting rid of me. I want to be here for the long haul. And if that's our first attitude, I'm not going to let the temporary annoyances end what we've got together. I'm thinking 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the line, and that's what's going to change my behavior.
You know, I like what you said about temporary annoyances, because if you're married, they're going to be annoyances.
Oh,
that's right. Yeah.
And
so
those young people who are thinking about marriage watching the show, they need to know that it's not going to be different for them, because they really love each other.
No. Yeah.
They're going to annoy each other.
That's right.
And that's just a part of living that closely together.
I think when you're a newlywed, it's a frightening thing that first time when you see something you really don't like.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, no.
What have I done?
I didn't sign up for this. That's a deal breaker.
Yeah, okay.
And what you're saying, one last thing, what you're saying is there is no deal breaker, right? Other than perhaps an abusive relationship, serial infidelity, some of those serious things.
Yeah.
But what we need our viewers to know is that in most instances, that's not why marriages are breaking up.
You're right.
That's right.
You're right.
You know, it is the temporary annoyance.
Yeah.
I just don't want to deal with this.
Mm-hmm. So attitude number two, perseverance. Tell us about that.
Just keep on. Go
keep
ahead.
On. Yeah, I remember my mom. I say that my mom taught me lessons at the kitchen sink. You know, there were always things we were talking about. And I can remember asking her one time what the word perseverance meant, and she said it's stick-to-itiveness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so stick-to-itiveness is an essential for any relationship that's gonna last. It says, I'm gonna do whatever it takes, but I'm gonna do that for as long as it takes for the long haul.
So it has to be an attitude.
Yes, that's right. Good. Some people will change a behavior, and it doesn't have the desired effect right away, but they know it's the right behavior, but it didn't help, and so they give up.
Yeah.
Persist in the behavior. Persist in the change, because it's the right thing.
Right.
You can't afford the luxury of an unhealthy behavior.
Yeah.
Even if it doesn't produce the right change you want immediately in your spouse, persist in the right behavior.
Yeah.
Day after day, time after time, make that choice. Persevere.
I like that. You know, I like to think in terms of find out what your spouse likes and do it.
Yes.
And do it again.
Yes.
And do it again and keep doing it. Mm-hmm. And the opposite is also true. Find out what your spouse doesn't like.
And don't do it.
And quit doing it. You know, but persevere in not doing it.
Right.
You know, not do it this week.
Yeah.
You know, do it next week or next month.
Yeah.
You know, keep doing that. Yeah. Perseverance.
That's right.
Right.
So,
but also often what happens is you change your behavior, you know.
Yeah.
So sometimes we say, well, you know, I prayed and I changed my attitude and my spouse didn't respond, so I'm just not going to do it.
Just not going to do it.
It didn't
you
work.
Know? Yeah.
And not about working.
Yeah.
It's about doing what's right and what's healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's whole.
And it takes one, right?
It takes one.
Because we always say, or couples often say, well, it takes two of us. You know, I'm doing my part, but when is he or she going to do her part? It takes one. You keep doing the right thing.
That's right.
Keep doing and creating an attitude, an environment of safety and wholeness and kindness.
Fix yourself. Be the right person.
Okay.
Be the right person. Instead of looking for the other person to
be a healthy person.
I think that idea of safety is huge.
Yes.
Because when you feel safe in a relationship, you have a safe place, that's going to blossom. You know, you are going to respond better to your spouse. Everything is going to go better when you're
much
creating
better.
Safety.
Not only do I want to feel safe, though, but I want to make a place where she feels safe.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I want her to feel safe. I don't want her living in fear or discomfort in this relationship. I want this to be a safe place for her. And so those changes are about creating an environment for her that's safe.
Wonderful. So attitude number three, humility.
Yeah.
Tell us about humility.
Yeah. You know, the fact is you're not married to a perfect person, but neither is your spouse.
Yes.
You know, both of you are flawed. And I think that sometimes when we get the mindset of pride that says this is the right way, and unless we're talking about a moral issue, that becomes polarizing for the marriage. Mm. You know, you don't think like I think. Well, no, she doesn't, and there's a reason for that.
Yeah. Right.
She's a different person.
She's a different person with different hormones and different background.
Yeah.
It doesn't make her way wrong. It makes it different, and that adds a variety of richness to our collective thought process and decision-making process.
Mm. I think the other thing about right and wrong is that we start to play the blame game then.
Yes.
You know, well, this is your fault.
Yeah.
Right.
My fault.
That is dangerous, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. And it doesn't help at all.
No.
Yeah.
And
no.
What you want to do in marriage is to be constructive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whatever you're doing, whatever you're contributing to the marriage, you want it to build instead of destroy.
That's right, instead of destroy.
That's right.
Well, amazing. We're talking with Mike and Gil Tucker about attitude today and how it can make an impacting difference and even save our marriage. When we come back, they'll share more. Stay with us.
Welcome back to Real Family Talk. Mike and Gail Tucker say the key to saving and strengthening our marriages is attitude, and they're sharing six marriage-saving attitudes today.
So we have the next attitude.
Yeah.
That is what? Caring?
Caring.
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 So an attitude of caring. Tell us about that.
Caring is huge. You know, we talk a lot about one of the things that Stephen Stosny says.
Yes.
He talks about having an attitude of compassion and generosity.
Yes.
In fact, he says you should contract with yourself, not with your spouse, but with yourself, to hand out love with compassion and generosity.
Mm-hmm. I like
and
that.
When you look at those two words, you know, compassion, it just says, I'm going to see things through your eyes. In fact, I heard someone the other day say that compassion is your pain in my heart.
That is beautiful.
And isn't that?
Let's say that again. Compassion is
your pain in my heart.
Isn't that great?
I care.
Wow, that's a great gift to our audience, and especially to couples who are married or thinking about getting married.
Yeah.
So compassion is your pain
in my heart.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Isn't that great? I mean, it says that
powerful.
To know that someone cares about you that way, that if you're in pain, they're going to feel it with you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great gift.
And to give that gift to marriage.
Yes.
Because there are enough times when we are going to inflict that pain.
Yes.
Exactly.
Whether intentionally or unintentionally, the pain is caused.
Yes.
And so to know that, all right, so I've caused you pain, I feel that pain too.
Yes.
I do feel your pain.
Yes.
And I want to make this right.
Yes.
I'll apologize. I'll change behavior. What can I do to make this right?
Yeah.
I think is a part of this. But, you know, caring, you can't, you know, we're told in Scripture to bear one another's burdens.
Indeed. Mm-hmm.
But you can't bear a burden that no one has shared with you, and no one's going to share with you if they don't care.
Yeah.
You know, if I don't know that Willie cares, why would I share with him?
That's right.
And how do you find out that someone cares?
That's right.
By their compassion.
By their compassion.
By their
attitude.
Compassion.
That's right.
And you decide whether or not to be vulnerable.
That's right.
To that person.
That's right.
And many marriages are not there.
You're right. But because Gail demonstrates her concern for me, her care for me on a daily basis, by the way she talks to me, by the little things she does for me, by the attitude she displays around me, those kinds of things, then I know that I'm safe. I know that she does care. And so when I share, she can help me bear. Yeah. And when I share, she receives it without condemnation, without criticism. She receives it and helps me bear.
That's a gift right there to couples.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why many marriages are not doing well, because people don't know how to share. Mm-hmm. And they don't share because they're afraid.
Yeah.
Because they've been hurt. It's not a safe place.
Yeah.
That's right.
So they don't want to really share what really
that's
ails
right.
them
yeah.
and what they're really feeling.
There are churches and marriages that are not safe.
Yeah.
That you would not be wise to share, because no one's going to care and no one's going to bear.
So how do you help make those marriages safe so that people want to care?
Well, I think one of the big things is to learn ways to communicate with one another that demonstrate that you care, you know, with kindness and gentleness When you speak in a tone of voice that shows respect mm-hmm. and tenderness. Mm-hmm. To me, that's one of the biggest things, mm-hmm. you know. If Mike says an unkind word to me, I'm just, you know, it throws me all off. But he routinely and regularly speaks to me with respect and kindness. And I think that's big. One of the things that we talked a lot about in the seminars that we did together with you guys was communication patterns.
Yes, right.
And when that negative type of communication comes in there, it
becomes a barrier. Huh?
It's a barrier. Mm-hmm. It's a separating
issue. It's huge. And it one of huge. The things we found in the research was that one negative pattern mm-hmm. is one of the most destructive patterns in marriage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you have that negativity, which actually is the opposite of caring.
Yes, that's
exactly.
right.
Exactly.
Right? Because mm-hmm. if I care mm-hmm. for you, if I have compassion for you, then I'd really think twice mm-hmm. about being negative.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the things that you're saying really has to do with self.
Mm-hmm.
I have to change self.
And challenge myself.
It's like Paul says, I have to die daily.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And but so often in marriage, we're looking for the other person to change.
That's right.
And how do we convey to couples that this really is about us and our salvation and what God is trying to do through us.
Yeah. I ask people, you know, so what is it that you really control? Have you demonstrated an ability to control your spouse's attitude or behavior?
How's that working out for you, Dr. Phil?
So since you have not demonstrated that ability, let's focus on what you can change.
That's correct.
And the only thing you can change by God's grace is you.
Yeah.
So you be the best person and pray that God will make your spouse the right person too.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
you focus on you. Change the thing you can change, and that is you and your attitude. So that means you become the caring person.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to play the advocate here just a little bit because I'm sure there's
you mean
a viewer.
The devil's advocate?
Oh, I didn't want to say the devil.
Yeah.
But we knew.
Unspoken.
Yeah. But there's some viewer that's saying, but you know, I've done that.
Yeah.
Pastor, I've been doing this mm-hmm. for 30 years, and he still hasn't changed, you know.
And he may not change.
Ah.
And it's not about, will this work? Is this the right thing to do?
Mm-hmm.
The question to ask is not, is this causing my spouse to change because I'm doing the right thing? The question is this the right thing to do? Is this how Christ would have me behave? Because the truth is, you can never afford the luxury of an unhealthy behavior or attitude.
Yes.
You can't afford the luxury of an unhealthy thought, and certainly not of a behavior or attitude. You do it because it's right.
Okay.
And you leave the results up to God.
So let's go to the next attitude.
Yeah.
All right.
Attitude of self-assessment. Tell us about that.
Probably the hardest thing ever, right?
Of course.
Because, after all, I've been doing all the right things for 30 years, and he hasn't changed.
He's got the problem.
Yeah,
that's right.
Exactly. But to be able to step back and say, all right, where are my areas of you know, dysfunction, or what are my problems, or mm-hmm. when am I not conveying compassion and generous love?
The truth is that when we're in pain, we become very myopic.
Yes.
All I can see is this person who's the source of my pain and my thoughts, and that's all. I can only focus on what you're doing wrong.
If she could only change, my pain would go away.
Yes.
We would have a different marriage.
But we've got to broaden the vision now and say, all right, you can't control what your spouse is doing.
Yes.
You can only control what you're doing. Are you a part of the problem?
Yes.
And the truth is, and 99.9% of the time, yes, you are a part of the problem because
your spouse is probably reacting to what you're doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So since you can't control that, let's figure out what it is. You can't change which you have not identified as being wrong yet.
Yes.
So there needs to be some self-assessment, and maybe you even need to reach outside of yourself to someone else who can help examine this and say, you know what, you're doing X, Y, and Z over here, and that's contributing to the problem. Then you can focus on
that. Okay. So you would recommend that someone even seek help from a counselor.
Absolutely.
And sometimes, even if you feel that your spouse has the problem.
Yes.
Right? I think that's what I hear you saying.
Absolutely. It's exactly what we're saying. Yeah. Even if your spouse won't go, you go.
Right.
So
you,
you can at least know what's going on.
That's right.
And know how to respond.
Yes.
Well, here's what you say in one of your blogs. When both spouses are able to reach a point where they are aware of their own shortcomings and mistakes, the way is paved for healing and resolution because they will stop blaming each other for their problems.
That's right.
The blame game, you know, keeping the scorecard is one of the most damaging things you can do.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, one last attitude here.
Yeah.
The attitude of welcoming honest communication.
Yeah. You know, Gottman talks a lot about making a request without criticism or attack.
Or contempt, yeah.
Then receiving that request without defensiveness.
Yes.
Or counterattack.
Right. You know?
Right.
And so honest communication means I'm going to share with you my concerns, but I'm not going to do it in such a way that is an attack.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to share my feelings and my thoughts, but I do this not out of judgment or out of attack or criticism. And then when the same is shared with me, I'm going to receive it without trying to defend myself. I'm going to try to listen to your heart's desire in that concern.
That's beautiful.
The heart's desire.
The heart again.
That's beautiful. Hey, today we've been talking with Mike and Gail Tucker about the 6 attitudes that can save our marriages. By the way, you can find their blog at madaboutmarriage.com. That's all for today's Real Family Talk. Join us again when we'll talk more about strengthening families and inspiring hope.